Blog Talk Radio.
Tickets are moving fast for the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 21st, and it's your one chance to be a part of the biggest race in a generation. The all-new Daytona is 31 million pounds of steel, forged by racing's greatest legends in the heat of battle for the most coveted trophy in NASCAR, the 2016 Daytona 500. Now, forever. Seats at the all-new Daytona will sell out. Guarantee yours now at 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17, Red Horse Racing.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17, Red Horse Racing, Toyota Tundra. You're listening to the pit stop with Tim DeSpain.
Good evening from Dega Nation. I'm Tim DeSpain, alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. We got a lot to talk about tonight. The first day of the media tour was in Charlotte, and Stephen has a lot of info. But before we get everything going, let's bring on the Reverend of the Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud?
Other than I'm freezing, I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm freezing too. Now you done moved up there. You know, you said you like sunny Southern California. Now you're up in the Northwest freezing, which I know that's where you ended up. But anyway.
Well, I still got a home in California too, so we'll see what happens next.
That sounds good, Reverend. Reverend, you want to go ahead and get us started tonight with the invocation? You got the floor, bud.
All righty. Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for the comfort for those who are hurting. We ask you to be with us all. We pray for all those who've suffered losses and other illnesses and such, Lord, and we thank you for your comfort. Be with us all. Watch over all of our racing friends, all of our racing family. We thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so we'd have a free entrance into heaven. Be with us all. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. And thank you again for being the official Reverend for the Pit Stop, Tennis Painter Stephen Wilson. Would you like to let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and your website? My friend, you get the floor.
Thank you, sir. And I find the feel a privilege to be on your show and be with you fine folks. You can reach us at our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And my phone number is 951-232-7630. Give us a call anytime. We're going to be doing some fundraising the next couple of weeks to raise some funds to get moving this year in the ministry. We've got a couple of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Racing jackets when he was with Budweiser and some other paraphernalia that we're going to be looking to sell to raise some funds. I'll be posting those on the website and probably on Facebook over the next week. So take a look, check it out, make us a good offer, help us out. Thank you, Tim.
Sounds good, Reverend Joe. Thank you very much, brother. And y'all check Reverend Joe out. Now, Reverend Joe's a nonprofit organization that goes around and does everything and helps somebody there at the track. Reverend Joe, thank you again, and we'll talk at you next week, my friend.
Absolutely. Have a great show.
You too, Reverend Joe. See you, bud. That's a good friend, Reverend Joe. And like I said earlier, we're live from Talladega. I'm Tim Spain alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. And we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, you know, I think it's the 34th annual media day at Charlotte, Stephen. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's something like that. 30-some-odd years ever since R.J. Reynolds started this thing out many years ago. Just as I kicked the season off as a fan, it was more of a fan thing really years ago. It kind of turned into a little bit of media and a little bit of a fan thing, and now it's really a lot of different things for the fans and for the media and for the teams and sponsors and everybody in NASCAR to really get together and kick this season off.
Yeah, just let everybody know. The number to call in is 215-383-3681, and please keep it nice. This is a family-oriented show. We have our opinions. Stephen and I have our opinions, and it does not reflect anything on NASCAR. But if you call in, keep it nice. If you don't keep it nice, you're going to get thrown in the dump. But, Stephen, we got a big show tonight, and I'm afraid we're going to have some haters call. You know, you and I have been texting back and forth a little bit today, and I don't know what we're going to have. But just let everybody know again, this is a family-oriented show. Keep it nice. If you don't, you're going to get canned. And, Stephen, this is probably one of the biggest things NASCAR has ever done with making so many changes. I mean, you know, and I'll let you have the floor because you've been on top of everything all day. I've been having to work. Of course, you've been working too, but you've had some breaks, but I've been very busy. But NASCAR has changed, or NASCAR has added a championship format to the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. So I'm going to let you have, wait a minute, before I let you have the floor, at the bottom of the hour, we've got our guest, Communications and Public Relations Manager at the ARCA Racing Series, Mr. Don, I'm probably going to chop his name up if I talk to him today, he's going to come on and talk about this past weekend's test there at the Daytona International Speedway and all that. But, Stephen, the biggest news tonight is the new chase format for the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. Let everybody know what's going on.
You sure you really want me to do this?
Just like I said,
right.
Stephen.
Well, I guess I'll...
Our opinions are our opinions only. It does not reflect anything on that. Well, they're our opinions, just like a fan has an opinion. You go ahead, bud.
Well, NASCAR as I'm sure as it's made around and made its way around the social media circuit and everybody around today, NASCAR announcing today, chase format has been extended to the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series starting in 2016. along with this NASCAR, with this new NASCAR Chase format, NASCAR has also, in addition, done away with the naming of the rounds in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, where we had the former Eliminator round and other rounds that we would have preceded in the previous years. Let's start with the easiest thing to do is in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the rounds will be named as the following: Round of 16, Round of 12, Round of 8, and Championship 4. Very simple, very easy, very to get along with. No more naming of the rounds, just plain and simple. We're going to same tracks, same way that they've done it in the past. Nothing is changing in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series side as far as that's concerned. Sprint Cup Chase format is staying the exact same as it has in the past several years of the new format series. The changes, however, are going to occur in the NASCAR Xfinity and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. In NASCAR Xfinity Series, we're going to have 12 drivers that are going to take the championship race to a Homestead Miami Speedway. In the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, we're going to have 8 drivers that are going to compete throughout the Chase format. In NASCAR Xfinity Series, there are going to be 7 races, 3 rounds. First round will consist of 12 drivers. Second round will consist of 8, and heading into Miami will be 4. The 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series drivers cannot compete in either of the Xfinity or the Camping World Truck Series finale championship races at Homestead. Absolutely no Sprint Cup drivers will be entered at Homestead. That is a rule that has been implemented this year at Miami for the there at Homestead. The additional 2 Dash for Cash wins are equivalent to a regular season win, and without a race win bonus for Chase Series eligibility, so that you can compete and get your Chase eligibility in the Dash for Cash, just like you can with a win and you're in the Sprint Cup Series. In the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, it is going to be, again, 7 races, 3 rounds, the round of 8, the round of 6, and the championship 4, which will take place at Miami Homestead Speedway. So those are the championship championship chase as they will play out this year in 2016 in all 3 NASCAR National Series events. Now, This is my little montage to that. In the NASCAR Xfinity Series in 2015, there was 19 different drivers that actually competed from start to finish. That means 67% of the NASCAR Xfinity drivers are eligible and will compete if it holds true in 2016 for the chase for their championship. In the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series championship, there were 13 drivers that started and completed the entire NASCAR Camping World Truck Series season. That means 75% of the actual Truck Series field that competed in every single race will compete for the championship. Therefore, we have 2 series out there that have neither enough drivers competing on a quality basis that can quantify us to say there are enough drivers each and every week to go out there like we do in the Sprint Cup Series. On average, we have 35 drivers every single week that have the opportunity and do start and finish every single race throughout the race season on an average year. These 2 series, when you take a look at 2015, the NASCAR Xfinity Series and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, both series came down to the very final race in the very final few laps there. Both series, both the championship, both Chris Buescher and Eric Jones, who won the championship in their respective series, both won the championship by 15 points there at Miami Homestead Speedway. I don't know exactly what NASCAR could have done to make those two series any better throughout the year. If you looked at the way that Chris Buescher was the up and down throughout the year, and then halfway, two-thirds throughout the season, did finally get it together, and then held on to that championship with that battle with Regan Smith and Chase Elliott throughout the remainder of the events, I really don't see how a chase format would have made that any better at all. That was a very good, hard-fought points battle all year long with the up and down that we had. You take a look at the Camping World Truck Series and Eric Jones, Tyler Reddick, Matt Crafton, those three drivers battled every single weekend. Matt Crafton, unfortunately, when he had a lot of bad luck. Phoenix was really his undoing out there, where, you know, he just really got out of that championship hunt, and it really just came down to Eric Jones really having to hold on to the end. But when you really look at this, I don't see a championship or a chase format really fitting into the picture on this one either. 15 points, I don't think, is enough. We're not in a point at 1980 or 1990s where we would have gone in two races before we're clocking off a championship contender already, or a championship and crowning a champion. We're not at that point yet. These two series, unfortunately, we need more quantified drivers that, when they're competing each and every week, showing up to the races, and they're competing for more events, and they're competing from start to finish in the season. 13 drivers in the Camping World Truck Series and 19 drivers in the Xfinity Series from start to beginning. There needs to be more. Unfortunately, the sponsorship isn't there in these two series. The race winnings aren't there. In the Camping World Truck Series, when we take a look at the final race there, $50,000 is what the race winner barely got, $8,000 or $9,000. That isn't even enough for most of these teams to even bother showing up. And it's even less at some of these other racetracks that we go to. And not necessarily saying this is a problem that NASCAR can control, because the racetracks do have to put these sponsorship deals together. They do have to put the race winnings together. And there's a lot of other things that have to come into play, as well as these teams also have to put their sponsorship deals together. But until the sponsorship is there, until the race winnings are there, until we have more teams showing up each and every week, and I'm not saying it has to be as big as the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, but we have five drivers showing up every week throughout a 25 race schedule, but we need to have more drivers. It has to be a bigger field of drivers that are showing up to make this so that 65% of the NASCAR Xfinity field is eligible, and 75% of the Champion World Truck Series field that runs on a full-time basis is eligible. Because that really, at that point, negates the fact of a championship, because you've made the majority of the contenders that are already running each and every week, they're already eligible anyways, so why not just go ahead and make the other 25 or 35% eligible and say, well, everybody gets to run just like we used to. And that's my montage.
And to everybody out there listening, if you agree or disagree with Stephen Wilson, his cell phone number is 867-5309.
Yeah.
Great
well,
job.
Thank you. I tried to break this down as best I could, and you know, I've been thinking about this as best I could. I'm not saying that NASCAR isn't onto something with the what they're looking at doing. I'm not pissed, and some people have sent me angry tweets. Some people have said nice things about the things I've said about this on social media already. And I'm not necessarily pissed off because NASCAR made these changes. I just think that before we made these changes, we had to take a wholesale look at these two series and really look at the fact of what is going on in these series before we got to this point. And it really just, we had to
get to the point where there were more drivers that are showing up and competing each and every week. When we have a list of 115, 120 different drivers that take or attempt in these two series each and every year, and two-thirds of them are start and park drivers, and only 19, 13 of them are even competing on every single track every single week, then we need to fix that problem first. We need to see what is going on there first. We need to make the fields healthy, make it healthy for the drivers, make it healthy for the fans, make it healthy for the sport before we go in there and try and make a chase that is already making a majority of the field eligible.
Yes, you have a very valid point there, Stephen. And, you know, I know there's some people out there that don't like it. And, you know, you and I have texted a little bit today. I'm gonna ride the fence a little bit. I don't know. I don't really approve of all these bigger changes that NASCAR made all at once, but I'm gonna give them credit and wait and see how it works out. If it works out, you know, fine. If it don't, I'm gonna jump on the bandwagon. But Stephen, I want to jump to something else. I mean, we've got all kind of PR releases coming from the teams, the track, and everything. But Brad Keselowski Racing, their drivers and crew chiefs commented on the NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series chase format and caution clock procedure. Here, I'm bringing up something else. But after Don comes on, I mean, we might go 2 hours, we might not. Phone lines are lighting up. But I want to bring up this. And we can come back to the chase scenario after we have Don on. But the 2016 caution clock, and I'm just going to quote a few things from what I've understood that NASCAR slowed out there, and then I'll let you have the floor. I don't know about this. This clock deal, I don't know why they're even doing it. But like I said, I'm gonna give NASCAR credit, and I'm going to wait and see how everything turns out before I want to throw it over in the dumpster. But the clock begins after every green flag. It's a 20-minute clock. If no caution within 20 minutes, the yellow flag is displayed. The clock resets with every caution. No clock for the final 20 laps. Most tracks, exceptions below, no clock for final 10 laps. Pocono, Canada. No clock for the duration of the race at Eldora, which everybody knows that's on dirt for NASCAR Central World Trucks. So I brought up, let another cat out of the bag, Stephen. What's your thoughts?
You know, this whole clocked in thing, there was a stat that came out earlier today. This clock would have been used in every single race last year except for five and some events even more than that. The problem with this clock is that we go back to what NASCAR has said time and time again. And I'm going to bring this incident up. You look at the Joey Logano, you look at the Matt Kenseth incident from Martinsville of last year. Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano incident was – Matt Kenseth was strictly he was put on suspended and put on probation for manipulating the race outcome of the event and damaging – Joey Logano's chances to win a championship in the 2015 NASCAR Chase for the Sprint Cup championship last year. NASCAR has told us time and time again, they have told the drivers time and time again, do not do anything that could intentionally manipulate or cause a difference in the outcome of the race unless it is an on-track or racing incident that you are battling hard, that you are racing, that you are doing your job on the racetrack. The only thing that I can see this clock doing is resetting this field and potentially doing something to cause the race to – something causing the race to – and I don't want to use and manipulate the race, but this could potentially change the outcome of the event in – way somehow, and this goes against what we've heard time and time and time again from officials to drivers, don't do something that could change the outcome. And this could potentially, if drivers are racing hard, they're doing their job, they're running a clean race, there's on-track action that NASCAR has got good TV coverage on, is getting great media coverage out of, and then all of a sudden the clock strikes zero and we see a caution. That just inevitably turns the fans off to say, well, why am I watching the race? There was great action on the racetrack. The announcers were into it. The fans were into it. The drivers were doing their job. But now we've done something to change the outcome of the event. The next 20 minutes may not be as exciting. There may be an accident. Cautions breed cautions. We may damage a driver's truck that may not have that be able to contend for that win any longer. So we could potentially put ourselves in that situation to change the outcome of an event that we've heard time and time again, do not do. Every single driver's meeting that we've ever sat in on, we've heard that time and time again. Don't do something that could potentially change the outcome of an event. And that's what I think this could potentially have the opportunity to do, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and I think that's what we might see with this 20-minute clock. When you start looking at the fact that it's in 2015, this clock would have been used in every single race but five races at least once, I think that's what we're now going to see. Hopefully this whole clocking in 20-minute thing will go away very quickly once the fans really understand what is involved in this.
Exactly. You know, Steve O'Donnell made the statement this morning there when everything was breaking about that they sort of used the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series as what I gathered out of it, he probably said some professional word, but from what I gathered out of it, they used the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series as a race dummy to experience and, you know, to throw stuff out there and see if it'll work to sort of, you know, bring it up to the Xfinity or the Cup Series. And, you know, I don't totally agree with Steve O'Donnell. I mean, you know, why use an NASCAR Camping World Truck Series as a guinea pig? These guys are out there trying to make a living just like you and I.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, you know, we've already done something with going back to this whole chase thing. We've already instituted something into it that's already hard enough for these teams to begin with. We're already running with teams in a series that's already underfunded as it is. Not necessarily underfunded from a series aspect and a sponsorship aspect, but we're underfunded as far as the teams are concerned, where a lot of these teams have to really just throw a lot of things together to make it to the next race. But to put something like this into play, which could potentially damage a lot of trucks, tear up a lot of equipment that could really be unnecessary, I think is one of the things that we kind of need to look at. And that's one thing that really we need to avoid if at all possible. We don't need any more cautions. We don't need any more wrecks. We don't need any more torn up equipment, especially for as much as these trucks cost. These trucks probably cost a third of what a Sprint Cup Series car costs, but it's still, they're expensive, and many of these teams can't afford to lose a truck or equipment such as that, and not especially on the tight budgets that they have to constrain themselves to in some of these aspects. I just think that using it as a guinea pig is not really the right word, but maybe maybe it should have been debated a little longer before we got to the point of actually rolling this thing out into a live race scenario.
And, you know, Stephen, also, excuse me, it's like NASCAR is sort of contradicting herself. You know, last year when Austin Dillon had that bad wreck in Daytona last year, when we come to Dega, you know, they wanted to limit the green, white checkers to keep from that happening. And you've seen what all happened here at Dega. It was like rampage, just like you brought up. if you keep boxing everybody up, somebody's going to tear up a race car. Somebody's going to move something out of the way. It's like the contradiction of stuff, Stephen. I don't know what to think, bud.
No, you know, that's the thing. You know, caution is pretty caution. That's the thing that we're going to box ourselves into. I think that's the thing that's really going to happen, and we're going to see that fairly quickly in the first race of the season in the next era 200 right there at Daytona International Speedway. We've got the perfect opportunity there, but this could potentially come into play very, very quickly out there at Daytona. We have the potential at Daytona to have some very long green flag runs on Friday night in that race. These trucks can run wide open for very long amounts of time. And those 20 minute segments out there, those are potential for 18, 19 laps. Those are very short runs for these trucks that they would be coming under caution out there. And you to continue boxing them in under these circumstances, especially as you said, after we saw what we did at Daytona last year, and then the changes that we saw coming into Talladega to try and unbox them out of that situation, I don't think that we really needed to box the drivers in any more than we already have. I think the whole clocked-in situation, 20 minutes, I think that needs to go away fairly quickly. I think it needed to be debated just a lot more than what it really was. And it's just something that really doesn't, not in the National Series, it's not something that really belongs there. It seems like an anomaly that's more of a, you know, the sideshow action more than it is anything else to create the action more than it is to really enhance the action.
Yeah. And to let all listeners know, the number to call in is 215-383-3681. You're live from Talladega, Alabama, with Tim Spanny, Stephen Wilson. We have our guest coming on the show. We have communications and public relations manager at ARCA Racing Series, Mr. Don Redabo. Let's bring Don in the pit stop. Thanks. Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Don, how you doing tonight, bud?
Very well, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I want to thank you for taking time out to come on the show. And, you know, like me and you talked earlier, me and Stephen's been on this NASCAR deal. But now we're going to talk some ARCA race. We had the ARCA test day one and day two, which day one got moved to Saturday and y'all got moved to Sunday, and it was a really awesome show down there, bud.
Yeah, we did really well. Very healthy test, as you may or may already know. We had 64 drivers test about, 26, 27, maybe there was 28 different teams down there, and of course, one team would have four or five drivers circulating in and out, but we had a really good test, 64 drivers. That says a lot, and I think it speaks volumes for the show opener coming February 13th, the 53rd annual Lucas Oil ARCA 200 coming to Daytona. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about the whole thing.
Yeah, we are too, Don. And just to touch a little bit about on Steve and I, we were talking a few days ago about the new tire. You know, Hoosier's not in the ARCA Racing Series anymore. You got this new general tire. Do the drivers like that? And how is it holding up far as down there at Daytona running them high speeds?
We didn't, I would say, at the end of both days, no issues. I know Sean Cork cut a tire there in the trialable there in the front stretch area, but there were no issues. The tire performed very well. Right now, the general tire is an engineering conglomeration between Hoosier and General Tire. They're sharing a lot of the same technology so that the transition is seamless going down the road. But we're excited to have General Tire on board. It's going to be a good thing, and certainly good for the series, and for the first showing down there, everything went very well.
Good. And Don, I want to touch on a little bit. I know your time's limited. The new Elmore engine. A lot of the drivers, you know, Suzanne and I and Steven, we're all good friends with the Camels, of course. Grant Enfinger, he's our hometown driver. But the new Elmore engine, I mean, that has really made it more, trying to look for the word, Don, more inexpensive for the drivers to, I mean, you know, it saves them some money.
Well, that's the whole idea. You know, renting an engine was getting to be a very expensive endeavor. I mean, you can get up to anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a pop to rent an engine for one race, and we're trying to sort of rein that back in a little bit and create the environment that more people could compete at the top level in our league with a similar quality piece. So you have to make the initial investment in the engine, and then the thing can actually go 1,500 miles before it needs to be touched or rebuilt, and you run it everywhere. You run the same engine at Talladega as you would on a little itty-bitty short track, Toledo Speedway or Salem Speedway, or wherever it may be. We're hoping, you know, we wanted to create a stable environment with this engine and bring in new people that saw the good in it that we do. And, you know, A.J. Fike won his first race with us on the Springfield Mile Dirt last year, and, you know, and his dad feels like with a new composite body and the new engine that everybody's using that they can now compete without necessarily having the bigger dollars that some of the biggest teams would have at this level. So all in all, good. I know even Grant Enfring, you mentioned him, he won on the DeCoin Mile Dirt last year, and it was during a race when his engine, and it's always been a problem on the dirt, you know, the screens plug up front, the vent in there, and it's a challenge to keep the cars cool on the dirt tracks as they fill up with mud and whatever and dirt and dust and all that stuff. And his engine got really, really hot, way too hot. As he said, it spun the dial completely around. And his comment in Victory Lane was, Fillmore must have made a bulletproof engine because, you know, we got this one to live for 100 miles here. And that was a pretty good coming from our champion, Grant Enfinger. So the idea is to keep the engine cost down but still run with a quality piece that can win anywhere from Daytona to the dirt tracks in Illinois.
Yeah, and Don, Steven and I, we had Grant on our show last year, right after he won the ARCA Series Championship last year. And I had asked him the question of his wins, which win was the hardest? And he said it was that dirt, that DeCoin. He said that was his hardest win to grab a hold of.
Yeah, well, he had to make some unscheduled pit stops, and usually in the 100-mile dirt track race, you only pit once, or that's the goal. You only want to pit once, but they made the call to come in and put water in it. They made it live till they got to the first caution, but even by then, it was way beyond the require. You know what it should have been. You know, it should have blown up several laps before, but they got it to the caution, they got it in, they got water in it, and got it cooled back down, and made the thing live. I think they. In fact, they came around again because they put water in it. Then they came back in right away and adjusted on it and did what they wanted to do. But, yeah, it was a challenging race, but they got through it and won the deal. Those are some of my favorite races on the ARCA Tour, the dirt track races. It's still really cool that we do that. And we're going to race under the lights at DeCoin this year, so we're really excited about that.
That's going to be awesome, Don. I wish I could make it, but my Steven's schedule is, and Suzanne, we just so busy. But, Don, my final question. I noticed the 2016 ARCA Racing Series schedule presented by Menards. Y'all are not going back to Mobile this year, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but you know, our good friend Will Kimmel went out of the track down there last year. Is that one reason why ARCA is not going back to Mobile this year?
No, it's not. I mean, we'd like to keep the cars within the boundaries of the racetrack. That's always the goal. But that certainly isn't the reason. We like to keep our schedule at a right around 20 race schedule seems to be manageable for not only the series officials, but for the teams that work so hard to chase this thing across the country. So we've settled in about 20 races. That doesn't mean we can't give and take on that, but the opportunity came up that we could return to Madison which is a market very important to our presenting sponsor, Menards. They have a lot of activation up that way, and it just worked out that that option became available, and that's the direction ARCA took. It doesn't mean we couldn't come back to Mobile in the future or anywhere else in the South. We had great races at Mobile. They were all good there. We had great crowds. They were a success, and, you know, on a personal note, I hope we do get to go back.
Okay. And I'm Don, I'm going to hand you over to Stephen, and I know he's got a ton of questions. You just let us know wherever you need to go, and then I'm going to let him throw you back to me because the phone lines is lit up. We got some people that want to talk to you. I know Rowdy Maglite wants to. So I'm going to hand you over to Stephen. Stephen, you got the floor with Don. I'm not going to mention last name, but Don. Go ahead, Stephen.
That's all right. I can't even pronounce it yet. I'm not good at it either. So. how you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to go back and touch on this Elmore engine just a little bit with you real quick. You know, last year when you put this Elmore engine package together, you had about half to two-thirds of teams out there, and a lot of teams kind of, when they came to Daytona last year and they did the ARCA testing out there, you really did see the difference between the teams that were running the ARCA, the new ARCA Elmore engines and teams that did not. But this year, with the teams that are able to go and get some of the used engines, you're now going to have pretty much the entire field set on these Elmore engines. When you're able to put a program like that together that now allows the entire field, and obviously the closeness of these cars with these Elmore engines providing a better competition, obviously cutting down the cost, and then be able to extend the life of the engines, as you've already said, with a rebuild cycle around 1,500 or so race miles onto these. Talk a little bit about how ARCA, you know, can work and just better the series with something like that, especially for some teams out there that are really just trying to break into the sport, especially as expensive as racing has become these days.
Well, you're absolutely right. Racing is off the charts expensive and out of the lead for so many, which is why we went in the direction of the ARCA Elmore 396. We tried to come up with a powerful, quality engine that could be, you know, relatively speaking, of course, affordable. We realize it's not affordable for everyone, but affordable for enough that we could have that many quality cars up front putting on a great show and racing for the win. That's, of course, you know, we haven't outlawed any of the other, that's not the right word, but I mean, the other legacy engines are certainly still legal in competition in ARCA, and we hope that they still come with those legacy engines. We know that everybody can't step up to the Elmore right now and make that $35,000, $40,000 initial investment. So the door is still open for the legacy engine. It may not win on some of the bigger tracks. It was very competitive. The legacy engine was on the short tracks. Josh Williams finished second or third somewhere with one, and nearly won with one at Nashville. And he led a lot of laps at Nashville and walked away from them from a while with that old legacy engine. So the door's still open for those guys, and if that's what they got, we hope they still come with it.
And you guys in ARCA have been doing something for a long time, and finally NASCAR really just caught on to this just a handful of years ago and finally went back to the dirt tracks a bit into the truck series. But you guys have been doing it at Duquin and other racetracks over the last, you know, eons of years. You know, the ARCA race series gets that opportunity to race a little bit on dirt, a little bit on asphalt, and a little bit on a lot of different racetracks, not only on the super speedways, but on the short tracks. You go to New Jersey Motor Sports Park. So you get these drivers out on so many different styles of racetracks out there that it almost gives an up-and-coming driver that opportunity to see a little bit of everything as they proceed on in their career on wherever they decide to go next. When a driver comes into your series and they get to go to some of these places, some of them for the first time at some of these racetracks, and they come into Daytona or Talladega or New Jersey or Duquin, wherever it may be, what is your guys'
the line of thinking and your thought process when you put this schedule together for these drivers so that you can better their career and kind of show them a different style of racetrack out there to really give them that next boost in their career steps?
Well, the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards has always prided itself on its diversity. And I know you guys know because you've been paying attention to this thing, but, you know, the diversity in this tour does create, we think, the perfect proving ground, training ground to feel what it's like to feel one of these big, heavy 3,400-pound stock cars on a short track, on a dirt track, on a road course, on a big, giant super speedway. We think it's the very best place to train for those who seek that next level. It's not new here. You know, this has been part of our personality, part of our niche over the decades. I mean, we raced on road courses in 1958. I mean, we go back that far. The first super speedway event was when Bill France Sr. invited ARCA for the first time to Daytona in 1964. And then we've been, of course, doing the super speedway trick ever since. We've always been on the short tracks, the paved tracks. And the dirt track program has always been very special. Our dirt, we really take a lot of pride in our dirt track program, you know. And all the ARCA races, some 1,500 over the years since 1953, 25% of all the races we've run have been on dirt. And you know, we never got away from that. There was a time when the economy got bad in the low 80s when there wasn't a lot of races on our schedule, six or seven at one time. When Mr. Martin passed away in 1981 and the economy crashed, it was a rough time. But when we came back, we got back right back to our dirt track roots, and that's something we've been really, really proud of. The event at Salem this year, Salem Speedway, has been on ARCA's schedule since 1955. No track has been on our schedule more over the years than Salem Speedway. It's kind of like our little Bristol track, you know, and we're going to be celebrating our 100th race at Salem in the Fall Classic come September this year, so we're excited about that. Yeah, we got a really diverse tour. We've always been proud of that, and we're happy to put that out there anywhere we go. That's part of who we are. It's a big part of who we are, and we think, in the end, it is the perfect place to train and grow your roots to get to that next level.
And obviously, as ARCA looks to their past, they always have to look to their future and where they go into their future, not only for the series themselves, but for the drivers and just continue to build on your success year over year. Where do you guys look to the future? Where do you go next, not only into the racetrack scene, but, you know, for the drivers themselves, the cars, the technology, and everything else to just kind of better their series for the next generation of drivers that come through?
Well, looking ahead at the future is something you've certainly got to, you've got to keep that vision. You can't stay still. You've got to keep the vision and focus and keep it in a good direction going down the road. But I would say that given our schedule and where we are right now, we really, really like where we are right now. Of course, the schedule will change as it always will in the future, and there'll be new opportunities that will come our way. What they may be, I can't say off the top of my head, but we'll get new opportunities to go to new places, and we'll certainly consider that going down the road, and maybe some tracks will go away. Who knows? But, I mean, look at what we have now. I mean, Daytona, Talladega, Pocono, Michigan, Chicagoland, Kansas, some of the coolest short tracks in the country, legendary short tracks, Salem, Winchester, I mean, Toledo. We have a road course on our schedule. We have the dirt tracks, Berlin, going back to Madison. I mean, we really do have one of the coolest schedules on earth, I certainly believe. So we're not in a hurry to move away from what we got because we're very grateful to have what we have. But as opportunities present themselves in the future, which they will, we'll certainly take a hard look at it. If it makes sense to go somewhere for all the right reasons, then we're gonna go.
Well, Don, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to hand you back over to Tim. Much appreciated, and good luck when you guys get to Speed Weeks in Daytona here in just a couple of weeks.
All right, Stephen. Thanks for the questions. I appreciate your interest.
Okay, Don, we've got a couple of callers. I've got our good friend, he's a faithful caller, he calls in every week. My good friend Todd Beefy, from upstate New York, his home track is Watkins Glen. I'm pretty sure Todd's got a question to ask you. So we're going to bring Todd into the pit stop with Tim in Spain and Stephen Wilson and Don from ARCA. Todd, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good, bud.
Well, good. You got the floor with, like I keep saying, I'm not going to, Don, Communications and Public Relations Manager, ARCA Racing Series. You got the floor with him, Todd.
Hey, hi, Don.
How you doing, Todd?
Hey, Todd.
Good. I appreciate you taking time to come and answer some questions.
I'm jealous because you live in upstate New York in the near Watkins Glen or somewhere up there. And I've been to Watkins Glen. We raced there back in 02 or 01 or whenever it was. But I've never seen – it's one of the most beautiful areas I've ever seen, that area up near Watkins Glen. I mean, that's just stunning, really, really cool. Anyway, I'm sorry, Todd. What's up? What do you got?
You're good. And you ever decide you want to come up to upstate New York, you just let me know, and I'll give you a site tour that you'll just blow your mind.
I swear to God, I've been to a lot of places. We all have, but that is one of the most beautiful areas I've ever seen in my life, and I'm talking anywhere on the planet. That is really spectacular.
Oh yes,
unbelievable.
Well, you know, I'm proud of you guys of all your hard work that you guys do, and my dream is to make it to an ARCA race, so I'm hoping this year to go to Pocono because that's the closest you come to me.
Well, if you want to come, get with me ahead of time. I'll help you out with that.
Okay.
Make it simple for you.
Now, you say ARCA's been running since 1950-something.
53.
Now, as a fan's point of view, maybe you can't answer this, maybe you can, but to me, ARCA is just as important as Camping Truck World, Xfinity, Sprint Cup. I think they should have ARCA more televised so fans can see the uprising drivers race more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting you would say that because we think we should be on TV more too. and you know, we get this question all the time, so it doesn't surprise me that you bring it to the light. You know, we get a lot of, why don't you televise those dirt track races? Those are the ones we want to see, you know, and the Salems and the Winchesters. Why don't we get to see all that cool stuff you guys do on TV? Why? We understand that. And really, I'm going to be as blunt honest as I can with you. It really comes down to, you've probably heard this one before, but it does come down to money. You know, when we race in conjunction with NASCAR, it's not very, but certainly more cost effective to put on a TV show. That's why you see a lot of the NASCAR conjunction races on television, because all the TV infrastructure is already in place. So we just come in with the talent and the producers and sort of borrow the infrastructure that's already there, the cables that are run, miles of cables, the cameras all around the track. It's already there in place. So it really makes sense to do those races. They're cost-effective, and that's why we do it. Now, the standalone events, the one you'd really like to see, some of those short tracks and dirt tracks, those as a standalone event, when you got to bring in the entire infrastructure, it's so expensive. It can be as much as $250,000 to put one race on, and it just comes down to having the money to do that. And believe me, we're working hard trying to make all those races come true on TV, and But it's about, you know, having the marketing partners to go with you and help you out to put the show on, because it's very, very expensive, those standalone races. And often that's why you don't see them, because it's a cost thing.
Yeah, I understand, you know, that, you know, it's a big cost. And when you guys come to Pocono, you know, you guys are, like, using their system, so at least that one gets televised. So I do understand, but, you know, I just kind of had to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, and it's a good question, and
I'm sure there's a lot of people that wonder about that, and that's my best answer for it.
That's okay. At least you were able to answer it for me. Well, I really appreciate you taking time and answering a question for me, and I'd definitely like to be in touch with you.
Yeah, well, Todd, if you want to come to Pocono, you have the invitation. Just call the ARCA office. You can get the number and ask for me, and I'll make it happen. If you want to make the trip down.
I really appreciate it. It's 3 hours for me, so it's not that far.
Oh, that's close. That's close for me. I've only driven to every ARCA race 406 in a row consecutively, so 3 hours is that's a short haul for me.
So, all right, well, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks. Todd, I'm going to leave you live, Todd. Ron, I know your time is empty, but I've got one guy. And I know you probably know this guy. He works for Wayne Peterson Motorsports by the name of Rowdy Maglite. Do you know Rowdy?
I know who he is. We don't know each other well, but we certainly know of each other, and we've had a conversation or two. Not enough, I'm sure. Is he going to chew me out?
No, I don't think he is. He's my good friend, lives over in Carpenter Hill, Alabama. Let's bring Rowdy Maglite to the pit stop. Dennis Payne and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Rowdy, how you doing tonight? Don said if you go chew him out, I got to throw you out.
Hey, I'm too old to be fighting now. I just want to lay back and watch it happen.
I'll go with you on that because I'm not in a fighting mood.
Hey, Don, I apologize that we really hadn't spent enough time talking, but I'm going to tell you, anybody that has been around you at the racetrack, you are a busy man. You give ARCA their money's worth when you show up, brother.
Well, thanks for noticing. I wish more people would notice, but I do appreciate that. I do keep moving, and it's what we do. There's a lot of busy people at the track. I'm just one of hundreds, but thanks for putting that out there.
Well, listen, I'm not from upstate New York, but I'm something close. I live in the hometown where Earl Bonner was raised up in. So that says stuff in itself. Yeah, Earl and I are great friends. He's the one that got me involved in ARCA. I just took it and went on and run with it, and I enjoy seeing Earl. I'm the guy that cooks the Boston butts. I don't know if you've got any of that Boston butt that I've been bringing to the track, but if you hadn't, you need to talk to
Earl. Well, we used to go to Talladega and race, and I remember Earl at the hotel there. I don't know what they call it now, like the Budget Inn or something. That's right in Talladega, and he would have his Alabama friends come over, and they'd whip us up. I think what you're talking about. Is that you?
Yes, sir, I think so. Matter of fact,
yeah,
one of the female officials there with ARCA in Kentucky, she proposed to me for my Boston butt.
Yeah. Well, I know you're good for a lot more than that. I tell you this, you've worked with Wayne Peterson at the track, have you?
Yes, sir. I've kind of helped Wayne for 3 years now, and I tell you, that's a story all of its own.
Well, I know. I wrote a story on Wayne Peterson going back to his military career and his paratrooper days and his time and, you know, the 7 tours of duty in Vietnam and all that went with his story. And there's a lot to that man and how he came from nothing and grew to be who he was. I've got a lot of respect for Wayne Peterson. He knows that. And
yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing them at Daytona.
Don, have you got somewhat of a count of how many Elmore Motors may be showing up at Daytona?
Well, I know this. I know I can tell you that in 2015, the Elmore 64 ARCA Elmore 396 engines were sold, which far exceeded what we ever dreamed of or thought. I mean, we thought maybe one-third of that amount we'd be doing okay, but there were 64 exchange sold. And that said, you know, obviously more of the field this year at Daytona is going to be powered by Ilmor. No matter which side of the fence you are on that, that's just what it's going to be. There's going to be more ARCA Ilmor 396s in the field, more than there were there last year. Bobby Gearhart, you know, the eight-time Daytona winner, did not run an Ilmor last year. He'll be running one this year.
Yes, sir.
And I know that that engine doesn't can't work for everyone, and maybe it's a financial thing, but I don't know the exact number because the entry list is still coming together, but you're going to see more than you saw last year there.
Can you touch up a little bit on the tire change from the Hoosier name to General Tire?
Yeah, we talked about that, you know, in the last segment a little bit. You know, it's General. What's happening now is General Tire and Hoosier Tire are sharing technology. Their engineers are huddled up in rooms and they're talking and engineering and doing all those things engineers do, so that the transition from Hoosier to General Tire really is seamless in the year ahead and in the years ahead. So. It's right now. It's about engineers, you know, sharing technology between the two companies and heading in a direction from there.
One more thing, you know, Todd had mentioned about television, Don, and I talked to Ron after at Kentucky about it. The pay per view was absolutely wonderful. It was wasn't it a $9.95 package to get the race on pay per view, which is absolutely affordable.
Yeah, we that last one that came out at Salem Speedway was $9.95. Yep, I think you're right on with those numbers. So you know, we've got the 10 announced events on Fox Sports 1, a couple on Fox Sports 2, but 10 overall. And we're working hard to add to our television schedule, whether it be through another network or through the pay-per-view angle. But, yeah, we'd like to do more of that and bring the viewers in and see some of these places they don't normally get to see, like a Salem or a Winchester or Springfield, Alabama, or something really cool like that. So we're working it, and we hope to be able to bring more. I would agree that $9.95 is in this day and age is affordable.
It definitely was. There was no reason for you not to get it. Don, I appreciate you taking my questions, and I'm looking forward to seeing you down at Daytona just a few weeks away.
All right, Rowdy, let's shake hands and chat down there.
We will, sir. We will. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Rowdy. And, Don, I know your time is limited, but I want to throw this out there before we let you go, and I ask everybody if they have one last question. But last year, 297 here hired me to be a pit reporter. So I got to pit report my first ARCA race last year for Thunder here at Talladega Super Speedway, and I'm going to do it again this year. So I'd like to meet up and maybe have a sandwich or a drink or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying, heck yeah. Kidding?
So I got you, Ron. I'm buying.
I didn't know you were a pit road reporter last year. I didn't know you did that.
Yes, sir. That was my first deal. I got contacted by Grady Sapp and Rufus T. Raspberry. God rest Rufus T. So Rufus passed last year. So, but yeah.
So they're planning on Sunday. That's cool. They're going to plan on doing that again at Talladega, the radio broadcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Grady Sapp at Thunder contacted me the other day and wanted to know, was I good? And I said, yes, sir. So I will be pit reporting. And if I can't afford to buy you a drink or a sandwich, Suzanne, I know, is going to put our pit stop sponsorship on Will Kimmel's B post. So she's got the money, so Suzanne can buy you a drink.
All right. I better pony up to her then. Heck with you. I'll take you to the Ark down there. You ever eat at the Ark?
Oh yes, sir.
That's my favorite place. Or that fried catfish. Oh man,
yes.
That's where I want to go.
All right, Don, you just let me know. Suzanne and I will take you over there.
That'd be wonderful, Tim. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Stephen, before we let Don go from ARCA, do you have any last thoughts for him?
I don't. Appreciate him coming on.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I appreciate you all having me. It was fun.
Todd, do you have any last thoughts from Ron?
Ron, I just want to say keep up the good hard work, and hopefully if you end up coming to Poconos, I can connect up with you there.
Be happy to meet you there, Todd. Again, that invitation is there if you want to go. Just call the ARCA office, ask for me, and I'll make it happen. The race last year at Pocono, the second one was my 400th consecutive ARCA race. I've never missed one since I started at Daytona in 1997, and Daytona this year will mark my 407th consecutive ARCA race. So looking forward to continuing that streak. Always look forward to coming back to Pocono, one of my favorite tracks. They're all my favorite tracks, but Pocono is just so cool. It's a triangle. It's got so much personality and character, and it's a beautiful area and all that jazz. But, yeah, Todd, you want to go? Just give me a call.
Okay. I thank you very much, sir.
You bet. You can bring Death, too, if you want.
Don, thank you very much for taking time out to come on the show. I know you stayed longer than your allotted time, and we really appreciate it. And if you want to throw out there sponsorships and everything for ARCA, you got the floor, if you can think of all of them, because I know there's a ton of them.
Oh, God, don't make me do that right now. I'll fall down and leave the key ones out and get myself in trouble. But we're certainly grateful for them all, welcoming General Tire. Of course, Menards is our presenting sponsor now since 2011. Sunoco still very much part of our program. We got a big long list, and I wish I had it in front of me to put them all out there as they deserve to be, but I also don't want to fall down on this part either. So thanks to all of them who continue to support the deal.
Don, thanks again for taking time out. And just like Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com up there in Richmond said, good luck, and hope everything runs well in Daytona for Speed Weeks. I look forward to seeing you and Dega. Like I said, I'll be pit reporting for the ARCA race. We're going to cover it live. Look me up, and Suzanne and I will take you and yours and whoever you want to go. We're going to go to the ARC that Friday night. You mark it down on your calendar, bud. I got it.
I'm there, man. I'm ready for the fried catfish. Just put it in front of me.
All right.
And some fried pickles, too.
Don't forget the hush puppies. The hush puppies are awesome, too.
Well, yeah. That comes with it, without even saying so. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you, Tim, and Stephen, Todd, and Rowdy, and all the people that participated. Appreciate you guys having us.
You're welcome, Don. Like I said, good luck in Daytona, and I'll see you in Dega, bud.
All right, Tim. See you then. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, bud. All right, that was Ron, Communication and Public Relations Manager at ARCA Racing Series. Not Ron, Don. My mind's going. Okay, Stephen, you want to take a break? We've got Todd still on. We've got Rowdy sitting on hold. You want to take a little break, maybe pay some bills and come back and talk a little bit more, or do you want to call tonight, bud? It's up to you.
The only thing we've really got left to talk about is this Dash for Cash heat racing thing. So
can I push through this
real quick if you want to get through this.
Okay. Can I throw out the Atlanta Motor Speedway promo, a little 30-second deal, and then we'll come right back and talk about it?
Yeah, sure. We pay some bills real quick here, and we'll come back and talk about it.
All right. Let's pay a few bills. You're live from Talladega, Alabama, the Pit Stop. Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson. Number calling is 215-383-3681. We're going to take a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Watching her blonde hair sunburn, stare at them white caps rolling over. I sure want you. And it's 103 between her and me, and only 92 in Daytona. And it's sunshine.
Alabama, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. And Stephen, like we said, we got a lot to talk about. I've got Todd Beasley back in. I've got Rowdy back in. Stephen, you want to talk about the Dash for Cash thing? Let's go ahead and, you know, like I said, we could talk for hours and hours and hours, but you got the floor, bud, and we'll let Todd and Rowdy ask you a few questions.
All right. Well, the third most important thing that came out of NASCAR today is the Dash for Cash is changing up a little bit this year. Dash for Cash races that have been announced this year, April 16th at Bristol Motor Speedway, April 23rd at Richmond International Raceway, May 14th at Dover International, and the final race at July 23rd at Indianapolis. A little bit of change into this year. Of course, we're going to have pole qualifying, which is going to be set in two heat races. The first heat race will be set with odd number qualifiers.
Huh?
The odd number qualifiers will be run in the first heat race. And in the second heat race will be the even-numbered qualifiers in the second race. The front row will be set for the first and second place finishers, the first place finishers in the first and second heat races. The pole qualifying award will start and has lane selection. The first heat race determines odd starting positions, the inside lane,
and the second heat race determines even-numbered starting positions on the outside lane. The qualifying, the top two finishing NASCAR Xfinity Series point earners drivers in each of the two heat races will comprise the Dash for Cash field in the main event. The highest finisher among the two of the four, among those four in the main wins, the Dash for Cash. Two Dash for Cash wins are equivalent to a regular season race win without a bonus point or series chase eligibility. So that's going to be a little bit of a change this year in the Dash for Cash, that we are going to have some heat races. A little bit of a change there in these heat races. Just a little bit, like I said, a little bit different. Yeah, so we're going to heat races.
they're sort of going back to like a little dirt track. And, you know, Stephen, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you know, it's sort of, you know, let teams run and then they get to see what they got, just like the old dirt track stuff. But and we'll see how that's going to take its course too, Stephen. And my opinion, like I keep saying to our listeners, our opinions are mine and Stephen's only. They don't reflect anything on NASCAR. But I sort of like that, Stephen. I sort of like that going to a heat race for that Dash for Cash stuff.
Well, I think we're going to have to see how this whole thing plays out. The first one is going to be at Bristol. The second one is going to be at Richmond. Now, Richmond did send out a press release earlier today to just kind of break this thing down for some of the listeners out here on how this thing is going to work. This is how it's going to work at Richmond. The drivers will participate in three rounds of knockout qualifying for the 40-car field. Obviously, that's the way that it normally works in course like pole qualifying. So the pole qualifier will get to choose their lane in the main event. So you win the pole in the three knockout rounds, just like you normally do. You get to choose your lane, inside, outside lane, during the main event. All the odd qualifiers are going to start. All the odd qualifiers in knockout qualifying are going to start the first heat event for 35 laps. Caution laps will count. There will be a 15-minute break in between. In the second heat lap, there will be 35 laps yet again. Caution laps yet again will count. After the heat, there will be a 20-minute break. At the conclusion of the 20-minute break, there will be a 140-lap main event, which will be determined by the finishing order of the heat races. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated.
Uh-oh.
The finishing orders are determined by the determination of the starting positions of the main event are going to be set by where you finish in the two heat races. However, the pole qualifier from the knockout round, from the pole qualifier, will get to determine whether they want the inside or outside lane. And then you've also got, yes, the top two NASCAR Xfinity regulars in the heat becomes the top two Xfinity Series regulars in each heat become eligible for the Dash for Cash bonus. The 140 laps is where you then win the Dash for Cash prize. So as we say, that's where it gets a little complicated at. They'll reset the field. The winners of the heat will then be reset. The pole qualifier will then get to pick their position on the inside or outside, and then they will reset the rest of the field.
Hmm. Stephen, man, we're going to have to get our crayons out and try to figure this one out. I mean, geez. I mean, well, you know, just like you had said today, I mean, mine and your head both were spinning around like an owl today with all this stuff blowing up on the press releases and stuff. I mean, it's just going to take a little time for us to sit down and figure out exactly, make sure we're following it right. I'm going to have to get me a lawyer to read that to me.
Well, I'm going to need somebody that knows calculus, geometry, and about six other different types of math, because I can't figure this whole thing out by myself. The way, like I said, that's the way.
Steven, I'm getting a headache.
Yes.
We'll figure it
okay.
out one day.
So,
I
yeah.
hope.
So the
first, I mean, you know, just like you and I both said today, we're going to try to jam it all into a 2-hour show and make it as short as we can. But oh, geez, maybe Suzanne can take her shoes off and count for me.
Well, yeah. I don't know. This really just comes down to we're going to have to see how this all works out when we get to Bristol. It looks like a neat concept. I mean, we've seen it run at Eldora a couple times in these events. But now we're going to put it into the Xfinity series with these Dash for Cash events. So
At least it's just the Dash for Cash events. There's just going to be a few of them. So they won't have to worry about much of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. I don't think this one here should create some excitement within the race fans. Bring a little few more race fans into the racetrack to actually see some of these heat races, especially when you've got 35 laps out there to really go out there and get an opportunity to change your positions with only, at least at Richmond, I'm using this as a basis. You know, Richmond, you know, you've got 235 lap segments. You get to go out there and run your car and then go out there and run 140 laps. The only thing is that, you know, those that are starting in the second heat race, they do only have 20 minutes in between the time that the race finishes and the time they have to go back out there and rerun an event, whereas if you run in the first heat race, you know, you do have a considerable more amount of time. My assumption is that these will be impound races where you cannot touch these cars from the time you get out of them in the first heat race to the time that you restart the race. I would assume that this is how it's going to change. I have not seen anything in the NASCAR rule book or any changes as of yet, but I would make the assumption that that is probably what NASCAR is going to do in a situation like that. Because it wouldn't be inherently fair to allow drivers that are sitting in the garage or sitting behind pit road for 35 laps to work on their race car while watching others drive around the track.
Great minds think alike, Steve. I don't know how you read my mind. That was going to be my next question to you. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, Steve, I know we're getting late. We tried to cover everything as much as we could, and we've got Todd here. Todd, do you have any comments you want to make on what Steven just talked about, the heat races there for the Dash for Cash at Richmond and everywhere else? Todd, are you there, son?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did you hear me? Did you hear what Steven was talking about, there are going to be these heat races and deals, sort of like a short track for these Dash for Cash races at Bristol, Richmond, and the other tracks. Do you have anything you'd like to ask him about that?
Like you guys, you know, when they're doing all these changes, pretty much you're just going to have to sit back and wait to see how it goes. You know, because some people like it, some people won't. And I'm not going to bash either way until I see actually how it goes. Now, Stephen, for this Bash for Cash, you said the pole sitter for the, what was it, the second heat gets the pick what side they want.
The poll
don't get us confused.
The three rounds of qualifying, just like usual, will set the two heats. The odds will start in the first one. The evens will start in the second one. The pole qualifier from the three rounds of qualifying will get to pick their lane choice in their respective heat. Then, in the actual main event, the first place winner from each heat race will comprise the front row of the main event.
Okay. So, yeah, just like you guys, I have to wait and see how this goes and see how it, you know, kind of works out. So, you know, I'm going to not say nothing until I actually see it in action.
Okay. Todd, that
it's going to be interesting.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just saying it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, especially at Bristol and then at Richmond. I'm going to be interested. I've liked the way that it runs at Eldora. But moving it into the Xfinity Series, I think it's going to be a test on what we can really do with this. It's going to be interesting to see, and I can't wait for at least this one to really come to Bristol.
Yeah, I will agree, Stephen. And Todd, thank you very much for calling in, bud, and I'm going to bring Rowdy on and see what Rowdy has to. I'm sure Rowdy might have a question. Rowdy, are you still there, bud?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. Hey, Stephen, I watched it twice and listened to Brian France. I listened to you. I'm still just as confused as ever, but listen, if you're going to those races, pack you a lunch and something to drink, because all you're going to see all night is racing, because they're going to be racing for the first place in those short little distances, and you're going to see some great racing.
Yeah, that's the truth. Very short races, no pit stops, so it's going to be a very much battle for the lead and it really does give an opportunity for some of these drivers that will not necessarily get to run up front. So you'd also get to throw that into the mix. However, you know, we do have very short runs on this, and I think the fans will actually enjoy the show. They seem to like it when they go to Eldora, and I think it will kind of bring the fans back into some of these Xfinity Series events where we have seen, you know, the fans not showing up over the last couple of years.
Well, you're going to see a lot of green, white checkers in one night.
Yes, I think so.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, Rowdy. We appreciate you too, bud. I'm going to throw you back over. Stephen, let everybody know we're going to call tonight from Talladega, Alabama. Let everybody know where they can follow you in on social media and your website, bud. You got the floor.
You can follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and speedwaydigest.com.
Sounds good, bud. And we're going to say, before I say good night, next week, Tuesday night, we've got NASCAR's number one artist, Mr. Sam Bass, will be joining us. And I'm pretty sure he has some pretty paintings that he's going to have of the first Daytona Rising deal. So everybody tune in next week. We'll have Sam Bass with us from the Pit Stop, Tennis Paint, Stephen Wilson. And again, good night from Talladega, Alabama.
I don't know. Unbelievable.